It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Revelation. We're going to study the first chapter, continue the study there. We're going to read from the 16th verse down through verse 18, just three verses today. And so please open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to write to us or I'd like to check our website, why we would find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And so I hope that that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study as we begin reading Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he had laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. I hope that was enough time for you to open that your Bible to read that along with me. And now let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can come and enjoy this time together. It's so precious to be able to study your precious Word. I thank you for these radio programs that we have, that we can enjoy it, study it, search it out. I love reading your precious Word. I love the fellowship that we have with other believers. Now, please, dear Lord, that first of all, that you touch every heart that is listening today, either to grow, if they know you already, personally know you, or if they have not come by faith to you, that they would trust in you today. Please, that they would ask you into their heart and believe. Come by faith to the Lord Jesus. It's a wonderful, wonderful free gift that you give us. You died on the cross that we can live. All we have to do is trust in you as our Savior. Come by faith, and you give us the faith. You give us the ability and strength to believe. And so please today that no one miss that. It's the difference between heaven and hell. So I ask today that all will listen and come by faith if they have not. And if they have, please grow and enjoy this time, this precious study. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, we look at this time here where we have the opportunity to see that he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength. We had gotten through the other verses of Scripture there. And so now that we can look at the messengers here, right, and seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. The seven stars is none other than the messenger. And as we have discussed before, but it's worth repeating, and that is the responsibility of the star is to shine. The darker the night, the brighter the star. And the local church should be a bright light, and we should shine, and we should shine so bright in this old, dull, dark world. And we love the verse of Scripture here in the last part of 16, out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was the sun, as the sun shineth in his strength. God is going to judge with the force of his word, and so God simply speaks. And Hebrews 4:12, his word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So please do not reject the Lord Jesus Christ. We read last week John chapter 12, verse 48, and we're not going to go back there today, but please that you would look that up as well. And so we have looked at Hebrews 4:12, read that. John 12:48, read those verses of Scripture, because Scripture confirms Scripture. And so we want you to be aware of what the Word of God tells us. The last part of this 16th verse is a sweet part, as the sun shineth in his strength. If you ever looked at the sun, you shouldn't, because it is so bright and so brilliant. If you do, just glance for a minute. Why, you see black spots in front of your eyes. Have you ever wondered and thought about the power and the strength of our God? As the sun shineth in his strength, we can see the power of the sun. Well, we need to know that the Lord Jesus uses that to describe himself, his precious face. John chapter 8, verse 12, I want you to go to that chapter and verse with me, book, chapter, and verse. John chapter 8, verse 12. I love looking these scripture verses up. John 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What a wonderful promise. Jesus is the light of the world. And again, imagine just the brilliance, the brightness, the power, the strength of the sun. And yet that is nothing compared to our God, to the Lord Jesus. Malachi, let's look back into the Old Testament there, but it's sure not very far, because that to be the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. And so find the book of Malachi, chapter 4, that's the last chapter, and the second verse. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Jesus is a Son of Righteousness to the nation of Israel. He is also our Son. Revelation 22, we're going to go much, several chapters beyond where we're studying right now. Revelation 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. So we have the light of the world, the Son of Righteousness, and the bright and morning star. What wonderful verses we have to be able to see Jesus. Back now to Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, in the very last part again. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. There's a big difference between the glory of the sun, the Lord Jesus, and the glory of the stars. Jesus being the sun to the church. We are the church. His ministers, his pastors, they are the stars. To be a pastor, we are to reflect his light. We are light bearers. The church is here. Every member of the church, and I'm not talking about Parkview Bible Church, I'm talking about every person that has come by faith to Jesus Christ. If you truly have asked him into your heart and you're born again, you are a member of the church. We get tied up sometimes with the name and the denomination and things like that. God never intended that. The church is the church. It's a body of believers. And that is in any church. Many folks, sad to say, don't go to church. But if they have trusted in Jesus as their Savior, then they are a member of the church. And the church is to reflect the light of Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. This is much different than we have looked at in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as Jesus came to seek and to save. Here he is coming in all power and strength, but we need to know and we need to realize and recognize that we are to reflect the Lord Jesus. To back up to the beginning of this verse just a little. And again, we have been through part of these, but we're going to review. And if you missed the program last time, this will help. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Now, to begin with here, let's look. In his right hand, seven stars. Seven stars are the seven angels, the messengers, the pastors. Responsibility of the stars is to shine. It shines only by a greater light sending its light to us. The star, the pastor, individuals, all believers should be this way. The stars reflect its light. It is not the source of power. It's not the source of light. We need to remember this should be our life. If we turn away from the light, we have no light. We have no power. You can take a mirror, and if you take that mirror and you look at yourself, or you turn it away from light, and it doesn't, it will reflect the image. But if you would turn that over to the sun, and you direct that sun down to some grass or a piece of wood or paper, you can start that paper, that grass, that wood on fire by the reflection of this mirror. And that mirror has no power in itself, none whatsoever. It's the reflective power. It takes the sun, it hits the mirror, and directs it to something else. We need to do exactly the same thing. We need to have that reflective power so that when people see us or talk to us or we have the chance to share the gospel with someone, that the light of the Lord Jesus shines in such a way that it just penetrates and it catches that other person on fire. That's the way we should be. Oh, we're a far cry from that, aren't we? Well, we shouldn't be. It's sure not because God is less powerful. It's because we have lost that power and that strength and that energy. The second part here is, out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. God will judge with the force of his word. And again, 4:12 of Hebrews. His word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Jesus said that those who reject his word will be judged by the word they rejected. And we have read that more than once. John 12:48. No person can look to the sun, stare into it. It's so powerful. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the Son of Righteousness. Jesus is the morning, bright and morning star. We've went through this twice now just today because I don't want you to miss it. I want you to think about that mirror. I'm sure as a child or in science class or sometime rather that you have taken that mirror and shown and reflected that light. That's exactly what we should be. We should reflect the light of Jesus with such power and such strength. And now verse 17. Again, that was just review, and I don't like taking that much time sometimes, but it's too important for you to see that the stars, these pastors, there is no strength in them alone. They get their light, their power, their strength from the Lord Jesus. Verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. This vision, what John is able to see here, is more than he can bear. Physically, mentally, spiritually, it is just to see the glory, the full glory of God. John just falls as a dead man. You know, John has had a wonderful experiences with his Lord. We can go back and find places in the Scripture where he lays his head on the very chest of the Lord Jesus. John wasn't very old then. John also, when word was brought to them that the tomb was empty, and John outrun Peter on that glorious morning when Jesus had risen from the dead. It's much different when he worshiped Jesus after he'd risen from the dead. John even witnessed the ascension. But this, he is beholding the full glory of the Son of God. And John just fell as a dead man. John the Beloved, that's the way he referred to himself in his gospel. In the gospel he had written, John the Beloved could not stand on his feet in the presence of the glory of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We find here, and when I saw him, I felt his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Please don't be afraid. That's what he's saying here. Don't be afraid. I am the Alpha. I am the first and the last. We have the other scripture verse that speaks of him being the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last. This divine title, this wonderful title, we find is used three times in the book of Isaiah. First and the last, Jehovah God. I'm going to take you back to Isaiah chapter 41, if you would go there with me, please. Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41:4. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am he. Isaiah 44:6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Understand, he is God, the only God. 48:12. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel. My called, I am he. I am the first, and also am the last. And it was Isaiah 41:4, 44:6, and 48:12. Now we have some beautiful scriptures that the Lord Jesus speaks here. Back in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 is right where we find ourselves. Fear not, I am the first and the last. Go with me to Revelation 2:8. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. And then back in 22:13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Jesus is equal with the Father in every respect. Jesus is eternal as the Father. He was in the beginning with the Father. He is the first and the last. He is above, he is before all and above all, and from him all things proceed. He is before all, above all, and from him all things proceed. He is last, he is after all, and in him all things center. He is the source of the sum of all creation. We might say Jesus is the hub of the wheel of all things. Everything from eternity through eternity points to the Lord Jesus. I am he that liveth. Jesus is the author of life. So we have, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Jesus is the author of all life. He is the source of all life. He is the living one from eternity through eternity. He was in the beginning with the Father. In him we live and move and have being. The living one, you could say. I am he that liveth, the living one. There is but one true God, and that's Jehovah. He is the living one. He gives us our life and our inheritance. Our inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. We have some scripture verses to back that, and we're going to go to 1 Peter. You'll find that is not far from where we're studying. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein so greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That was 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 4, 5, and 6. Now, if you would please go just a little bit further towards the front of your Bible, because you're going to find 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. I hope that you're taking time. I hope that you're able to open these scripture verses and find them, because they're so important to see and to know. Chapter 3, and we're going to look at the 15th verse. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, and the last section of that verse, in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. What a beautiful verse of scripture. Once again, back to Revelation 1, 18. I am he that liveth and was dead, became dead. He became dead so that we might live. Jesus did not just die, but became truly and really dead in our place. He took our place. Jesus literally laid down his life. Matthew tells us that Jesus yielded up his spirit. You'll find that in Matthew 27:50. If you would look to Mark 15:37, he tells us that Jesus gave up the ghost. In Luke 23:46, again, gave up the ghost. Luke tells us that Jesus committed his spirit to the Father and gave up the ghost. John tells us that Jesus bowed his head and gave up the spirit. That's John 19:30. So we have Matthew 17:50, Mark 15:37, Luke 23:46, and John 19:30. He became man. He lived upon the earth a little over 30 years. And the living one, referred to as we've looked at the first and the last, I am he that liveth, the one who is the originator of life, stepped into death of his own free will, that by his death he might destroy him who had power of death. And that's none other than the devil. And through his death, he delivered the captives who had the captives of the devil. Jesus completely conquered death. Death's bands were broken by the Lord Jesus Christ. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. When we look at the cross, we find that there were no angels there. There were angels in the Garden of Gethsemane come to strengthen Jesus, Luke 22:43. They appeared outside the tomb and inside after Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. You'll find that in Matthew 28:2-7 and John 20:11-13. After Jesus was tempted, the angels came, but not at the cross. Jesus and Jesus alone conquered death. But the next section here was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Behold, I am alive forevermore. He is standing in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. He proclaimed, I will die no more. Jesus had conquered death. Jesus has risen from the dead. Jesus announces, I will live forever. And because he lives, we live. What a promise. Because he lives, we live. Now, the very end of this verse, I tie in the last half of 17. It seems to fit. Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, him and alive forevermore. Amen. And the last of that, and I have the keys of hell and death. Jesus had the authority. He has the authority over hell and death. Jesus took from Satan the keys, so no longer does the devil have the power of death. The man that holds the key to a building or room is the man that has the authority to enter or to keep others out. Dominion in and over the invisible world. Opening and none can shut, shutting so that none can open. He is the judge of all. Precious scripture. Let's look very quickly. We barely have enough time to go back to Luke 16. Luke 16. Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. And we don't have enough time to read that today, but I wanted to take you to that scripture verse, Luke 16:19, because that's where we're going to start next time. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen. I don't know if you know that story or not, but it's precious and it's true, and that's where we're going to start next time we get together. My dear friend, I hope that you know Jesus as your Savior. I hope that you have trusted in Him. And if you have not, call on Him today. He will save you. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?